Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
You're listening to Rabot & Co. here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabot.
Ah, yes, the show that gives money to Kentucky football. This is Rabot & Co. ESPN 680, 105.7. Man, if people aren't on Twitter, that's a really stupid thing for me to say. He's Zach Cantrell. I'm Louis Rabot. Thanks for joining us here on Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow. I don't have anything planned for tomorrow, Zach. I'm not going to lie to anybody. Of course, we get Jay Davis, though, in the 11 o'clock hour on Thursdays. He is not in a car driving to Chicago to pick up his mother-in-law with the youngest just absolutely blood-curdlingly screaming in his ear. How are your eardrums, Jay Davis?
They're still bleeding, but I'll be all right.
Play it through it, people. Jay Davis, presented by our friends at Lotta Sports, lottasports.com. Go check them out for all the ABA gear. His code is ABA20. You get 20% off your purchase up there with our friends in Indianapolis, keeping that red, white, and blue basketball rolling along as well. I'll kind of start with more of a generic open. Anything surprise you last night at the draft?
Zach Edey going as high as he did, not going to Memphis, because Memphis does have a hole at the five. Jaren Jackson's not going to play five full-time. Obviously, Zach Edey will. And, you know, just with how polished I think he is offensively and, you know, the durability he's shown, I think that's a really good spot for him. But you got to remember, before last year, you know, when John Morant got hurt early in the season, Memphis was a 50-win team, you know, the 2 years prior to that. And that's a team that's, you know, been able to find diamonds in the rough with undrafted guys, second-round guys, and I think that's a great spot for him.
Interesting. All right. Jay Davis with us talking NBA draft to open here. Getting some NBA free agency in the second segment here. Reese Hoshea, Sargo 1-2. Is this the future, or is this just 1 year with two guys? I mean, the French are really dominating the draft the last couple of years.
I mean, I think this is just 1 year. You know, neither of these guys is as good as Victor Wembanyama, and I know that's obviously hard to do. But, you know, I mean, Reese Hoshea, he's a pretty good shooter. Obviously, he's long. I think they're both going to be pretty good players. I don't know if they'll be franchise guys, and that's what you're looking at when you're picking, you know, at the top of any draft. Sar is more likely to be a guy that, you know, makes a major impact on defense. But, you know, particularly with Washington, I just never know what they're doing. They just traded, you know, Denny Abijah to Portland, which was a weird trade, you know, because I don't know what he's going to do in Portland. And, you know, I think he's a pretty good young player. He showed a lot of promise last year, and I don't understand why, when you're a team like Washington, you know, they could still tank or be bad if they kept Denny Abijah, but I just never know what Washington's doing. So, you know, I think Alex Starr will be a stretch five. I'm not sure, you know, if he's going to play right away. He probably should, since Washington's just looking to be really bad. But, you know, I want everybody to be good. As somebody who loves basketball, you know, I want good guys to keep coming into the league every year. But, you know, with, you know, Sar and Reese Hoshea, the guy who went sixth in Charlotte, I'm sorry, I don't want to mispronounce the name. But, you know, having, you know, seen very, very, very little of these guys, I'm just not sure. You know, I'm much more sold on a guy like, you know, Klingon, who, you know, was, you know, a huge reason why UConn dominated college basketball the last 2 years. Reed Shepard, who's probably the best shooter to come into the league, you know, straight from college, to Steph Curry. So, you know, just, I think, you know, GMs draft off potential a lot of times, you know, with the young guys to buy themselves time, you know, with their jobs.
Right.
And, you know, if you're looking to put together a winning product, you know, right away, I think Donovan Klingon shot should have probably gone first. And I sent out a tweet last night about it. I was like, look, you know, he's probably the best big guy in this draft. If you don't believe me, just ask Illinois. But, you know, these GMs, like I said, you know, they're looking to prolong their careers with some of these picks. And, you know, you can see it, you know, I mean, Dalton Connect should not have gone 17, you know, because of his age. I don't know what, you know, what these GMs are doing. I mean, I do know what they're doing, but I just don't know why he slipped so low.
Jay Davis with us, reacting to the NBA draft last night. The first and fourth college players off the board attended the University of Kentucky last year. The second and third attended UConn. I opened the show by saying I thought that last night was really a closing of the Cal era at Kentucky, with, you know, seeing Danny Hurley sitting next to Malika Andrews on that dais with Jay Billis rather than Cal this year. Do you agree with me that this was kind of the closing of that and a chance for him to move on to Arkansas?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's got, I mean, but the thing he can still do is he can add, you know, Reed Shepherd and Rob Dillingham to the list of, you know, top five, top 10 guys that, you know, he's put out the last 15 years. And, you know, that would be totally fair, but, and I'm sure he's probably going to have a couple of them at Arkansas because he brought, you know, some transfers with him from Kentucky. But, yeah, you know, that was it for him. You know, it was interesting, you know, to see that we, you know, went back and forth on it a little bit. You know, they got, you know, number three and number eight. You know, there's a lot of talk about how really, really good that both of these guys are going to be, you know, Rob Dillingham and Reed Shepherd. And, you know, they lose in the first round of the tournament, which is, kind of a, you know, a theme for Kentucky over the last 9 years, you know, since that, you know, that run where they went to what, four Final Fours in his first 5 years there.
Yeah, it's a perfect just clunk at the end of his tenure there in Lexington, unfortunately. So, yeah, it didn't feel good watching it, Jay, but it did feel like there was kind of a terminus at least, right? There was, you know, it just an arrival at a point where we all said, you know what, that's it, we're done here. Good thing to be able to move on from that. Texter, as a as a member of Gen X, should I be bothered that ESPN showed Andrew McCarthy before the Knicks picked and no one acknowledged who he was? God, it's a good text. Texter, the funny thing is both those guys drafted from UK came off the bench. Do you make much of that, Jay? Does that bother you, or is it more just, hey, how the team fits and, you know, this is the flow of substitutions and that kind of thing? Or does Cal deserve some criticism for not starting two guys that go in the top 10 of the draft?
I mean, Devin Booker came off the bench for him. You know, he's had guys, you know, go high in the draft. Obviously, these two guys went higher than Devin Booker did. But, you know, it's the makeup of the team. You know, these are two true freshmen that came into a team that, you know, had some guys coming back and, you know, some guys that, you know, were ahead of them at their positions. And it's not like, yeah, they didn't start, but they both still played a lot of minutes and, you know, produced when they were on the floor. So I don't really read too much of that.
Jay Davis with us, presented by Lana Sports, LANASports.com. A lot of people saying the Wolves were the winners of the first round getting Dillingham from Kentucky, but also Terrence Shannon Jr. probably slips a little lower because of the legal, you know, the legal stuff that he had to go through most recently. Do you agree with that assessment, or was, you know, for example, maybe a Dalton Connect to the Lakers so late in the first round really the steal of the first round?
For what Minnesota needed, I agree that, you know, they probably, and where they were drafting, I think they probably did have the best draft. You know, last year, you know, they make the run to the West Finals essentially with, you know, on the perimeter, Anthony Edwards being the only guy that can create his own shot, and he's, you know, having to work to create shots, get looks for other guys, because Mike Conley at this stage of his career is still capable of that, but at a, you know, much lower rate than, you know, maybe 5-6 years ago. So, you know, obviously both of these guys are going to come off the bench, and they're going to be, you know, spark plugs for Minnesota, you know, in different ways. You know, Terrence Shannon, I think they're both three-level scorers. Obviously, Terrence Shannon is much bigger than Rob Dillingham is, but Rob Dillingham is going to come in and just, you know, just worry opposing coaches to death, you know, just with his, you know, downhill ability and is it, you know, and how he can finish in traffic, and then Terrence Shannon can do all of that. Plus he's a threat from three. So, you know, they're gonna add a lot to what, you know, Minnesota already has. And I think both of these guys, you know, should be able to contribute. I won't say right away, but, you know, maybe by Christmas or the start of, you know, the turn of the year, I think they'll both be strong contributors for the Timberwolves.
You know, I also think with with Reed especially, in a weird way, both of these guys go to places where they don't have to be the dude right away. Often when you get drafted in the top five or top 10, a franchise really needs you to be that guy. And in the case of both of these dudes, it appears as though that isn't the case. Amen Thompson goes to Houston last year, for example. He's already there, 6'7". He can shoot. He can do all the things that Reed Sheppard does as a guard. They've got, obviously, a roster that's coming on right now, right? This is a team on the rise. Udoka's a good coach for all of his personal misgivings. Did Reed Sheppard land in a good spot in Houston, and what should fans expect from him in Houston next year?
I think, yeah, he's in the perfect spot. You know, he'll be able to work behind Fred VanVleet for a little while. But, you know, remember last year Fred VanVleet signed that, you know, it was called a 3-year deal, yeah, you know, for like something like, I think it was like $180 million. But he's got a team option for next for 25, 26. So there's a real shot that, you know, if Reed Sheppard plays as well as, you know, I think he can, you know, and if he develops as, you know, a playmaker, he could be starting for the Rockets, you know, later this year. They might look to offload, you know, Fred VanVleet, you know, to get some of that, you know, some money out of there or to reroute it somewhere else. So it's a good spot for him. You know, he'll be behind, like I said, Fred VanVleet, Jalen Green. So he'll be able to, you know, he'll get minutes. He'll be able to come in and probably get lots of open looks, you know, playing off some other guys. You know, Alperen Şengün is going to make plays for him, you know, from the post, get him the ball in the right spot. So I think that's a great spot for, you know, Reed Sheppard, and I think it's a great spot for Rob Dillingham, frankly.
How much did you enjoy all of the Reed Sheppard memes about Houston last night?
Oh, they were great.
Fantastic, you know, right?
the only thing that would have made him better is if he would have went to Atlanta.
It's the only thing. Houston, though, Houston, a very good runner-up for all those things, though, yes?
Oh, absolutely! Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, who on that team he hangs out with. That'll tell you a lot.
There you go. God, he's only 19. We also forget that part, don't we? Texture wants to know 437-9680 on our UPS jobs text line. Dillingham's size. Do you worry about that when he gets to the next level?
No, you know, not so much, you know, because like I said, you know, just watching him, you know, with the handle that he has and, you know, his willingness to, like I said, go to the basket and absorb contact, he'll put on a little bit of weight. You know, he's gonna be a pro. He's gonna be working out more. You know, he'll have a chef. He'll be, you know, getting more creatine, protein, whatever. I mean, he's not gonna get huge, but, you know, like I said, you know, just watching him all last year, it just felt like he didn't have a problem going into the paint, you know, amongst, you know, the bigger guys, taking contact, you know, and finishing after contact. So I think he'll be fine.
Jay Davis with us. We'll take our first break of the 11 o'clock hour here. He's presented by Lana Sports, LANASports.com. Use his promo code ABA20 to get 20% off your order. With anything up there, that red, white, and blue basketball, go ahead and get your order in. Get that thing in your driveway, get it in your man cave, something like that. As well, a bunch of texters. Cal was hung up on the Twins for some reason and didn't give Devin Booker the nod, just like Ulis. Should have had more minutes his year. Cal is known for not playing the best players and keeping them on the bench. And boy, did we see that this last year, for sure. Reminder, Reds Cardinals at 7 tonight. Soccer City before that with a man named Benton. If you want to hear him talk purple soccer players, you can listen to him at 6 o'clock on Soccer City as well. More with Jay Davis. We do it next here on Rabone Co. ESPN 680, 105.7.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of.
You're listening to Rabone and Co. here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabone.
All right, welcome back in. This is Rabone and Co. here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Reds Cardinals tonight at 7, after Soccer City at 6. Reds Cardinals continues all weekend. We'll have a Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll have all those games for you. Lou City Saturday night, 7:15, visiting the Birmingham Legion. So that'll be 7:15 pregame, 7:30 kickoff in that one. Friday night, last edition of Inside Churchill Downs until the fall. And so listen to Darren Kevin, Tony Kalo, all those guys over there, going to take care of you today. I'm heading out. After this, I'll be doing an early edition of the Horse Racing Happy Hour with friend of the show, Caitlin Free, 1:30 today ahead of the Zach perked up. How about that? Ahead of the Stephen Foster on Saturday. And I'm working on a handicapping guest for tomorrow's show. I'm hoping our guy, Kevin Kilroy, will be able to join us. For that as well, 437-9680. Keep those texts coming here on our UPS Jobs text line. We are talking with Jay Davis. Jay, I'm going to take a hard left turn here, but I know it's one that you will take with me. I know it's not NASCAR.
Okay. All right, just making sure.
College football 25 is starting to leak out. Stadiums, offenses, that kind of stuff. Are you ready to talk?
Uh-huh.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Absolutely, let's go.
You're damn right you are. Okay, so let's... The offensive power rankings, by the way, are out for these games. And I want to ask both of you a serious question. When you see these and you see the rankings of players in these games, how seriously do you take them as they relate to real life? Jay, I'll start with you. I know Zach wants in on this, so we're definitely letting him in on this. No, no, don't wave me off. Don't pretend that you don't.
Oh, I want in.
Bleep off. I was going to say, don't bleep off.
Oh, yeah. No, he can go first.
Don't do that to me.
Never.
How seriously do you take these? Like, if a guy's like a 90 rated and then you see him in person and he doesn't look that good, do you look at the guy like, what a bum? Because I
do. I think, you know, the thing about the games now is, like, keep in mind, on Father's Day, I took like 45 minutes and I played college football low. 7 or 8, and I was like Oregon, so I could use Dennis Dixon. But now and Zach probably knows no better than both of us. I think, and I don't know if they'll do that with college. With a lot of the games, when the season starts, depending on how the guy plays, the rating changes. So like Quinn Ewers might be like a 95 now, and you know if Texas is 2-4, he might go to like an 84. You know, wow. if that's the way they run it. So. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's all fun. You know, like, when somebody's really good and they have, like, a lower rating, you know, than I think they should, that's what I'm surprised about. Like, I'd be surprised if, like, you know, who's the running back that transferred from Ole Miss to Ohio State? Quishon Justin?
Yes.
Because I'd be surprised if he's under, like, a 95.
Yeah, no, he should absolutely be there. So should Travion Henderson. But, no, that's exactly right. Like, if... You know, Jalen Milroe this year is one of the Heisman favorites. If I don't know what his ranking is, but Alabama's offense ranking is a 91. But if, say, his ranking is 93 and he is great early in the year, there's a chance he goes to 97, 98, or he could go the other way. He's not very good. No, that happens all the time in 2K, and I think it's going to happen in this game as well.
Alabama got top three with a new coach, new system and everything. And as I look at this list, the defending, reigning, undefeated national champs are nowhere to be found.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy to think about.
Georgia won. By the way, this is the College Football 25 overall offensive power rankings. Georgia number one. Do we have any issue with that?
No.
No.
Okay, I don't either. Oregon... tied for the same number, but listed at number two, probably some kind of a tiebreaker there, I'm sure. I think Zach and I were talking about this the other day. Zach had a great question during our buy or sell bologna or salami segment yesterday about which school entering a new conference will have the best season. You made the case for
Texas
in the SEC. I made the case for Oregon.
God, no.
I made the case for Oregon in the Big Ten. I'll ask that question to you, Jay. Do you have a team? So we went through the list yesterday. So let's do this. Washington, Oregon, USC, UCLA to the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Arizona, Arizona State.
Utah,
and Colorado to the Big 12.
Yep.
Texas, Oklahoma to the SEC. Of those teams, Jay, do any of them stand out as being very good? I thought the other one for me was Utah going to the Big 12.
I think Utah's going to win the Big 12.
Okay.
You know, they probably have the best coach in the conference. I think Cam Rising will be back for, like, year 17. But, you know, if we're talking, you know, I mean, I don't think Utah's – I think they could probably win a playoff game. I don't think they're going to, you know, get to, like, semifinals or anything like that.
Got it.
But the only reason I giggled like that when you mentioned Texas, and I know, you know, Texas got to the playoff. Texas is back every year when they start 3-0, but – you know, I'm just looking at the conference part of their schedule. I think they'll probably win. That Michigan game is early enough that, you know, Michigan will still be working kinks out with their personnel.
I think you're right about
that. I agree.
You know,
yeah.
But just looking at, you know, because they don't, you know, after that Mississippi State game, they have a bye, and then they go Red River, they go They get Texas at home, which would be amazing just atmosphere-wise. Then they have Vandy, and then they have another bye. And then they get Florida at Arkansas, Kentucky, and Texas A&M. Now, I know that's not like a murderer's row, but that's not, you know, Houston or Kansas State and Iowa State. You know, that it's not what it's been, you know, in the past for them. And Texas, you know, Texas is almost in that Notre Dame class, you know, where they're overranked every year. I agree with Lurie. I think the Big Ten championship game is going to be Oregon and Ohio State.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow. I got a game.
You know, they match up in like week 6 and week 7, I think, in Eugene. So I think that's going to be a great game. They go to Michigan, they go to Wisconsin, but I just think Oregon is just a really great, you know, I just think they're going to have a really great year.
Jay Davis with us, presented by Lana Sports, LANA Sports.com. Use his code ABA20, get 20% off all the ABA gear, that red, white, and blue basketball. Get one of those in your life. Go check them out. LanaSports.com. Colorado makes the top 10. You are shaking your head, young Zach. Go ahead.
No, I have a big problem with Colorado being top 10. That's not a top 10 offense, considering their offensive line is just garbage. Last year it was
horrific.
Last year, Shedeur Sanders got sacked 54 times. Like, that is not sustainable. Miami should not be a top 10 offense either. I think that's a terrible job.
The interesting part of this, actually, is if you go through this list, Georgia's...
I don't think Clemson should be top 10 either.
I don't either. I agree.
I was going to say, for purposes of local talk... Both Georgia and Texas are on Kentucky's schedule. They are in the top 5 of this list.
Yep.
Miami and Clemson are both on Louisville's schedule, and they are on the top 10 of this list as well. It is so strange to say this out loud, but Kentucky might get lucky and not have to play Missouri this year, who's in the top 10 as well. What a weird thing to say out loud, but damn it, it's real.
Missouri was good last year.
Yes, Drinkwitz is good, man. It's okay. Like, the dude knows what he's doing. That's the guy out of App State that actually knew what he was doing. That's it. There you go.
I wonder how many Cards fans are going to travel for that Stanford game in mid-November.
There'll be more Louisville fans there than Stanford fans.
Oh, at that point, yeah.
Oh, man. College football 25 we are talking about. Jay, we're going to have a tournament here with our friends at Blind Squirrel at some point. We're going to have a 40 and over division. Is that funny?
No, I just like to be included.
Okay, got it. let's go ahead and talk the stadiums then, because we did these rankings the other day, and I am trying to find them, and I apologize. I thought it was going to be a lot easier for me to find on Twitter. I'll go to Google.
I got you.
All right. So go ahead. It was A&M.
Yep.
A&M. Alabama. LSU.
Yep.
The fourth was?
Ohio State.
And then five was?
It was Georgia.
Georgia, okay.
Georgia.
So college football 2025 game stadiums.
Yeah, Florida was 10, Florida State 9, Oklahoma 8, Wisconsin 7, and Penn State 6.
That's right. Who would you have number one, and is anyone in that list that you were surprised to see?
I was very shocked that Texas A&M was in here at all. 2 years ago, they went 3-3, and their wins were Sam Houston State, Miami, and I can't remember the last one, but that was here. They lost to App State at home. LSU behind anybody in the SEC is always weird to me. Now, I know they don't play all their games at night, but if they did, they'd go undefeated at home every year. Mm-hmm. The fact that Oregon's not in here is a little weird.
That one, them not being top 10 is very strange, yes.
You know, the Florida State one's a little weird to me. I mean, I know, you know, they got the chance and everything that goes on pregame, but that just seemed a little high. I was shocked Penn State wasn't a little bit higher. I mean,
agreed.
You know, you look at everybody in front of them, but Penn State, that place gets super, super loud. Camp Randall is really, really good. I've been there a handful of times. But yeah,
are those the top two in the Big Ten? Are we doing that? Is it Beaver and is it Camp Randall? Are those the top two?
I think so. Michigan,
I think so,
obviously, Michigan and Ohio State are the two biggest. But you know, you catch Michigan on the right week, and they've done different things to try to, you know, change the atmosphere there. But yeah. You know, everybody's still sitting on their hands. Ohio State's Ohio State's a lot of fun, but I, in terms of like once the game starts, how loud the stadium is, I think Penn State and Wisconsin are the two best in the league.
You and I agreed on that the other day.
Yeah, I can't disagree. Penn State, yeah. Penn State's number two, as far as I'm concerned. I think the top two are, I think, are fairly obvious. It should be LSU and Penn State, especially at night. Those two places just get absolutely insane. And you're talking about the ACC, Florida State. I think you replace Florida State with Clemson, and Oregon should absolutely be in the top ten.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was shocked. You know, if you're going to put one ACC team on here, it's got to be Clemson.
Yeah.
I got to say, the team that was criminally underrated to me in here, and it's because of how they've played the last couple of years, they're just not sexy, is Iowa. Kinnick Stadium is awesome.
Washington,
it really
got
is.
Snubbed.
Oh, Washington got totally snubbed by not being in this at all, for sure. I agree with that. But as far as teams on this list that should be higher than they are, I think Kinnick is probably top 10. Lots of very good teams lose games there.
Yeah, I'm aware.
So there you go. I do think some of these in here, you know, Neyland at Tennessee, or say a Jordan Hare at Auburn, those are right for the right games, but I'm not at all sure that they are
Yeah.
Texter is saying Utah is criminally underrated as well. You know who says that all the time is Blankenbaker.
Yeah. No, yeah, he really, that's a great place.
So that's Rice Eccles, of course, yes. Came in at 18 on this list as well. But yeah, no, I thought this was kind of
fun. I was surprised. I mean, it's 22, so take it with a grain of salt. I was shocked Spartan Stadium made the top 25 of this list.
Because of recent seasons or in general? Because that place
just
gets...
in general.
Oh, I disagree. I think it's top 25 almost for sure.
Did you see Notre Dame and Michigan State just renewed their series?
Yeah, 26 and 27. We'll get a Notre Dame... we'll get the megaphone back. How about that? Did you see that, Jay?
Yeah, I've never been there for a game. I've been there before, but I've never been there for a game. I'm locked in for 2026 in South Bend. I'm going to try my hardest to go to that.
There you go. Jay Davis with us as he is every Thursday. Is there a place on here, Jay? We'll do this. We'll do full summer radio. Maybe a Doak Campbell or something like that. The Swamp in Florida. Is there a place that you haven't been to a game that's on this list that you're like, man, I got to go see a game?
Oh, I mean, I'll do a couple of them because the obvious one is LSU. But and if I had to pick one more, you know, I would love to go to Red River, but that's played at a neutral site.
Right, sure.
It would probably be, Clemson, you know, just because of
it's awesome.
You see pregame,
it's awesome.
Just the environment there. I love to go to Clemson.
It is
I
fun
love to go
too.
To all of these.
In
10 years, when my kids are old enough, when my kids are old enough for me to leave them at home for a couple of days, I'm gonna go to all of these.
That's a good idea. I can vouch for Clemson. It is very fun, and the weird slander they get for letting people on the field after every game, I don't understand. Why is that a bad tradition?
Yeah, it's college. You're supposed to be
right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that part. And it's very controlled. I mean, people are not out there acting a fool because they know one person messes it up, it's done. Like it's done. And so no one's doing that kind of.
There's
stuff.
A lot of reasons to dunk on Clemson. That's not one.
That's
of
not
them.
One of them. That's no, exactly right. Yeah.
No, number one on my college football bucket list is LSU at night.
Sure.
It's not.
Sure. I think it is for many people. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's fair.
It's LSU and it's not close. So that's for games. For tailgates, it's Ole Miss.
Yep.
Okay.
For me, it's Ole Miss.
Go to the Grove. Oh, yeah.
But the talent walking around isn't terrible.
A lot of talent there.
Yeah, there you are. Texter, ESPN is currently asking if the Cowboys, Lakers, or Yankees are under more pressure to win a championship. What a great thing to do with Mina Kimes and Perk.
Oh, boy.
I guess Mina's got to earn that $2 million there. There you go. Texter, West Virginia throwing batteries at players makes it seem like a hard place to play, too. Man, we talked about that the other day. I think with West Virginia, it's less about the crowd noise and the general environment. It's more that you're just uncomfortable. It's just an uncomfortable place to be. It's just not good, man. Texter, just all of the SEC. Texter. Something about horse tax. Hang on. Oh, Clemson in the early fall is the equivalent of Keeneland. Yeah, it's beautiful, man. It is. The day I was there, though, they were playing North Carolina State. Do either of you... Okay, so Jay and I are both Big Ten guys. And every game... You went to Bowling Green. Settle down.
I did.
You're a Mac guy. Be a Mac guy.
I'm a Mac guy.
Embrace it, man.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with
Mac
being a Mac dude, man. 100%.
Yes.
No.
Hey, we play football games on Tuesdays to distract people from the presidential election.
Thank God. Thank God for Maction, 100%. Every game in the Big Ten has a stupid trophy affiliated
of course,
with it, right? Every single
except
freaking
Ohio State Michigan game for some reason.
For some reason, that's right. Because it doesn't need one.
No.
It's the one that doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you guys happen to know the name of the game between North Carolina State and Clemson?
No, I don't.
Okay, Jay, do you happen to know? It's so terrible. It's great.
It's something weird. It's like, I feel like it's something related to, and I'm probably, it's something related to like manufacturing.
It is. It is.
Yeah. The textile bowl.
The textile bowl. Okay, so what's funny is you wouldn't think of that part of the country as textile producing, but man, it is. It just is. And so, you know, old school crops that you would use for textile manufacturing and that kind of stuff. Yeah, the textile bowl. So when I was there, I made a very big deal out of it being the textile bowl. No one else knew what I was talking about. Because in the South, you just go to games. In the North, you're like, hey, I'm freezing my balls off. We may as well name this thing and give out a trophy.
What's your favorite Big Ten trophy?
That's a good one.
The axe. Paul Bunyan's trophy.
Floyd is pretty awesome.
Yeah, Floyd of Rosedale's
great. Yep, he's pretty awesome. Paul Bunyan is so ugly that it's great, yeah. Right? It's one of those. Paul Bunyan trophy is a bit like me. So ugly that it's great. And then who has the axe? Is that Minnesota, Wisconsin?
Yeah.
The axe is Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Man, that one's pretty darn good. That one's pretty darn good. The brass spittoon for Michigan State and Indiana.
Oh, that's an underrated one.
The spittoon is awesome, yes.
Noah Buck with Ohio State and Illinois.
That's not bad.
Wooden turtle.
The Land-Grant trophy is the ugliest trophy. Yeah. And I think they did that on purpose.
Illinois and Purdue play for a cannon?
Yeah.
Why do Illinois and Purdue play for a cannon?
Hey. Settle down.
We're talking about Purdue. What about the old oaken bucket? Purdue and Indiana.
That's a good one. It is, actually. That's a good one. It's got the letters on the side of the winners. Yeah. I like that, actually. That's a nice trophy.
Even though Michigan's in it, I do like the little brown jug. Michigan.
Oh, yeah. That's Minnesota, right?
Yeah. Little brown jugs, yeah. Michigan, Minnesota.
Yeah. Man, oh, man. I remember those games in the Hubert Humphrey Dome, dude.
Oh, boy.
They used to play games there.
There was one. What year was that? Michigan was losing like 35-3, and they won 38-35, and Illinois was like four touchdowns.
2003.
I think that was 2003.
Oh, three. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Gosh, Minnesota, dude.
Seeing USC and UCLA, USC on this list of Big Ten rivalry games is weird.
I can't get used to that. I can't get used to Oregon, USC, any of them being Big Ten teams. Like, that's just... I think of it like this is the Rose Bowl, not a Big Ten game. Come on.
Take our last break of this hour. Come back and talk more nonsense with Jay Davis. He's presented by Lana Sports, LANASports.com. Use his code ABA20. Reminder, Soccer City tonight at 6, inside Churchill Downs tomorrow at 6, ahead of Stephen Foster Saturday in town here. And of course, during this time slot on Sundays, you can listen to the Sunday Morning Hangover. That's Curran, that's Baker, and that's Cantrell, 10 to noon here on 680-1057. One last segment, get you into Bobby V. We do it next here, ESPN 680-1057. And the answers are so clear. Wish I could find a way to disappear. All these thoughts, they make no sense. I found bliss in ignorance. Nothing seems to go away over and over again. Just like
to Rabeau and Co. here on ESPN 680-1057. Now, here's Louis Rabeau.
Ah, yes. Welcome back into the show. Brave enough to ask what the Rutgers USC trophy should be. It is Rabeau and Co. ESPN 680-1057. I made the joke on Twitter the other day. Jay Davis with us, usual spot, by the way. 11 o'clock hour here on a Thursday. That Edmonton and Sunrise should just start colleges so they can join the Big Ten. 8-hour flight between the two of those. Let's figure it out. Little Edmonton State and Sunrise Tech. How about that? Jay Davis with us. Lana Sports, LANASports.com. Soccer City at 6. Reds, Cardinals at 7 tonight here. And again, thanks to Wingzone for bringing lunch by the ESPN Louisville Studios. Wingzone.com. 10 boneless wings and wedges for just $9.99. Wingzone.com. Get in with them today for lunch. Just a great option over there as well. Man, I just got a betting app thing email about golf, and I love Emma. She's great. Are you betting golf because of who you're married to, Jay? No, it's Jay. He's chasing a child. I can almost guarantee it. Are we on the air? Okay, good. There you go. Hey, that was Zach Cantrell. Oh, man.
Dude, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, there you go, buddy. Little mute button. What are we doing here?
That was, yeah, I fat fingered the mute button. no, like, so maybe, like, the day before the Masters, I'd be like, give me three guys think we're going to win. But that's about the only one. Like, the Rocket Mortgage Classic is here this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I might watch, like, 5 minutes of it. But, yeah, you know, maybe, like, the Masters or the PGA, but that's it.
Which course is that at? Detroit Country Club?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. I know they got, like, gosh, what are the three major courses up there? So that one, where they played PGA
Oakland
at a different
Hills.
Place. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah, Oakland Hills. That's right. That's right. I was thinking of Oakland Hills.
I don't, you got it.
Okay. But yeah.
Oakland Hills. Shoot, I don't even know the other ones.
Detroit Country Club. Oakland Hills. For, no, but Oakland Hills has had a U.S. Open, right? That kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. I think they've done like some senior stuff at like TPC Dearborn.
Texter wants you to name a better NBA young core four than this. Soshon, Vassell, Castle, and Wemby. Do you like those four?
Sohan will probably be gone.
Okay.
You know, because they had him playing point guard last year, so I don't know what they're going to do with him. A better young core four, I mean, Chet Holmgren, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams.
I agree.
And... Casey Wallace, yeah, I'll put him in there.
I like Casey Wallace, actually. I think he's going to be a fine pro eventually. I think he'll be fine. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
The Spurs might win 25 games next year.
Are your Lakers going to take Bronny today?
If he gets there, you know, if he falls that far, which he probably should, and, you know, I don't necessarily know how – I don't know how smart that would be. Look, you know, because I know we've talked about this before, but you know, if you look at their depth chart, they have, it's pretty crowded. You know, they got Gabe Vincent from Miami, D'Angelo Russell starts, Austin Reeves starts. I don't know what they're going to do with Spencer Dinwiddie. They just drafted Dalton Connect. They still got Max Christie. They drafted Jalen Hood-Schifino from Indiana last year. I don't know what they're going to do with Cam Reddish. That's like eight or nine guys I just named right there. So what are they going to do with Bronny if they draft him other than probably ship him to the G League?
Yeah.
He should have just stayed in school. It's not like, you know, I mean, I obviously it's like a – this is a lifelong dream of his. I don't – you know, I wouldn't stop anybody from, you know, pursuing their, you know, career dreams or anything like that. But it's not like he needs the money.
Serious question. Like if he – if he goes to an Ohio State or something, right, goes back where dad would have played college ball, isn't he getting $500,000 in NIL anyway? I mean, isn't he living well? I mean, dad's like, you know, he's not going to live like some pauper in Columbus or something.
He gets money and all the other things that come with being an athlete at a big school.
All the other things. That would be a great name of a podcast about sports, would it not? All the other things. Jay Davis with us. Usual spot on a Thursday here on Rabot & Co. ESPN 680 105.7. Hey, by the way, it's not on our programming here at all, but I will have a special preview of the Stephen Foster card, the Kentucky Racing Spotlight, back at 11 o'clock on Saturday. So tune in here on ESPN 680. That's presented by my friends over at the Kentucky HBPA, kyhbpa.com. As well. NBA free agency is going to be kicking up here, but Ananobi gets a max deal from the Knicks. Do you like what they're doing?
I mean, with what they traded, you know, they gave up RJ Barrett to get him. You know, you can't make that deal mid-season or, you know, I think it was just before the turn of the new year, and, you know, you can't let him walk. So, I mean, that's a lot of money for him, but for what the Knicks are trying to do, OG Ananobi can guard everybody in the NBA one-on-one except for, like, Jokic and Embiid. That's his value there. And his numbers on – I mean, he's a streaky three-point shooter overall, but on corner threes, he's amazing. So, you know, just for what he's able to do for them when he's out there, which is always a question with him, is worth it for that team in particular for what they're trying to do.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see. Do you enjoy the Stephen A. clip of him saying Villanova has no pros and now he loves the Knicks?
Well, I mean, he probably didn't watch a lot of college basketball. No, that's why he thought that. I mean, you know, I know that's like an eight year old clip, but you know, they got four guys on the Knicks. You know, Kyle Lowry. Well, that was 10 years earlier, but you know, it's interesting. You know what they're doing in New York. I keep hearing that. The Knicks are putting together this team to beat Boston. And, you know, if they play Boston in the second round and beat Boston, that's fine. But how are they going to stop Giannis if they played him in the conference finals? It's almost like, you know, we heard when Minnesota beat Denver, that Tim Connelly put the Timberwolves together to beat the Nuggets, and then they got waxed in the West Finals. So I don't like the idea of putting together a team to beat one team. I mean, yes, Boston is a defending champ. That's who everybody's gunning for. But, you know, like I said, you play Boston in the second round and you beat them, and then you're playing Milwaukee in the West, in the East Finals. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do then? I think you just need to put together the best selection of players possible to try to win a championship, not to beat one specific team.
All right, let's play this sound. This is have you followed any of this stuff around the Texas A&M baseball coach taking the Texas job despite going to the finals of the College World Series?
And saying he's not going anywhere?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Coaches should never say that, by the way. Just don't even say it, even if you mean it. Let's go ahead and play this sound right now. Zach EC, go ahead and cue this up for us and play this sound. This is a super fan cosplaying as a journalist, and he'll say the quiet part out loud here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a working relationship with him. We text a lot, and we called each he asked me to do him favors, whether it be reporting on the team or helping out, reporting information about game times and getting to the ballpark early, all this stuff. He did all of that knowing that he was, you know, I was helping a guy that was conning me. I had personal relationships with guys on that staff. I really did. A couple of them were at my wedding, and I feel betrayed because I feel like I was looked at my face and lied to. I was talked to over the phone and lied to. There were deceitful charades put up as if nothing was going on behind the scenes. And you don't have to look at me and tell me that you're leaving and you know that you're leaving and going to Texas. But I also don't play me for a fool. You know, don't build up all this other stuff and come up with these grand stories of what you've got planned for the future when you know it's all a lie. And the layers that were gone to try to throw people off the scent. Mm. At the end, we were going, okay, this is all too much. Like it just kept doubling, tripling down. It was all too much. So, yeah, I'm disappointed. I really am. It's hard for me not to sit up here today in front of this microphone and be extremely disappointed in people that I thought were stand-up human beings.
Any reaction, Jay Davis, to this whole thing? Or and how much do you hold this against a coach for saying those things, and how much is just you have to say those things in the business?
You don't have to say anything. You know, there's as much coach speak as they do in these post-game press conferences. And, you know, for as long as he's been coaching, he should know that he did not have to do that, especially when he knew before he said that he was taking that job. So you don't have to do that to yourself. And now he's going to be – I mean, it's college baseball, so we're not going to care about this in like 5 minutes. But, you know, when Texas and, you know, Texas A&M play, you know, that's going to be a thing. You know, people are going to remember that, especially, you know, if it gets to be the College World Series next year and they're matched up at some point. So it'll be a thing for them. But I don't know. You don't have to do that. I know he's not the first coach to do that, and I know he won't be the last. But every time it happens, I think it's like the dumbest thing in the world.
He's Jay Davis. He's presented by Lana Sports, LANASports.com. Promo code ABA20. Get 20% off your purchase up there. Get that red, white, and blue basketball, people. Go get one today from our friends up there in Indianapolis, LanaSports.com. Jay, thanks, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Lou. Thanks.
Yes, sir. There you go. Jay Davis. Dan Issel's favorite guest. How about that?
What a phony, by the way. That's the Texas terrible. A&M baseball coach. Awful.
You could hear the... By the way, you're right. That guy did sound like Rummage. The second
he
part...
Really did.
Just how sad he was. Like how personally disappointed he was.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are more media members than we think that are fanboyish, that, you know, they have relationships with these guys. I at least respect that he came out and was honest about it. But yeah, it's this happens more than you think. But you can't, don't walk up there and don't tell me that you're not interested in going anywhere. I'm staying here. I'm doing this. All you have to say is no comment, or we're still in the process of thinking about it, or whatever the case may be. When you make
my team's in the College World Series,
when you make whatever declarations like that and then you go against it,
right,
you look like a horse's you know what.
Patootie.
That's right.
Patootie is what we were going for there. Were you surprised to see Zach Edey in the top 10?
A little bit, yeah.
I was too.
He's made some money against UConn.
That's a very Grizzlies pick, as Jay pointed out, though.
Yeah.
It really is, right? Like, I didn't think of Did you think Zach Randolph was going to have the kind of career he was going to have?
No.
I didn't either. But it's a very Memphis kind of thing, and he pointed it out. You know, go grab those guys who maybe other people don't see as a top 10 or first-round kind of thing or whatever, and make them into the kind of players that they turn into. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing.
What do you think of the media having personal relationships with the coaching staff? That just seems weird to me.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Yeah.
I talked about it earlier this week, man. If you become friends with people that you cover and then you call yourself a journalist, man, I just...
Yeah, don't be a Big J. He's not a Big J.
You're not a Big J, that's right.
Not a Big J.
You're not a Big J, that's right. We still haven't gotten to this Sunday ticket lawsuit. I will do that probably tomorrow.
Yeah.
We have updates from OTAs around the area as well. I will do some handicapping tomorrow as well ahead of Saturday out at Churchill Downs. By the way, open invite as always. I'll be up there at 320, 321. I'll tweet out where we're hanging out. I'll have a cigar for you if you want to come by and say hi on Saturday during that late pick six, especially for Stephen Foster Day. Great one, Stephen Foster. Back to grade one. Zach, you know what? You're damn right it's a grade one. How about that?
Did you see some guy on Cleveland hit a home run his first at-bat yesterday?
Okay.
His first at-bat in the majors? At that point, you have to retire. Don't you? You have the best batting average of all time, and you hit a home run in your only plate appearance. You got to quit. It's only downhill from there.
Yeah. Texter Orwell used to tell people he couldn't have lunch with anyone he was going to write about. Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. Yes. So, yeah, It is an odd thing because, you know, as we get into more of these shows, for example, on the Spotlight show, and I interview trainers and different things, it's in your head, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you go to handicap the races, when you're trying to figure out who's going to win and you see the trainer's name or the jockey's name or whatever, the owner's name.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we had the owner of Mystic Dan on after the Derby. Lance is awesome. He's a nice guy. I'm rooting for him personally, right? Right. And that's from a phone interview. So, I can't imagine being embedded like this.
Are you doing the Stephen A. thing like they did on SNL? He's a dear friend of mine. We have showered together on many occasions. But there is no way that Mario Chalmers should have arms to shoot a basketball Chalmers in the fourth quarter. Like, that's basically what media relationships are like with athletes. They parodied it, but it's real.
Yeah.
Stephen A. goes on there all the time and talks about how he's friends with everybody he covers. Except LeBron. But they have to have the graphic of LeBron's a family guy. He's a great person. About to criticize him.
Yeah. Oh, man. Texter, what about journalists becoming personal friends with athletic directors? It's all the same, man. Same church, different pew. For sure. It's all the same. Not my cup of tea, man.
Not these guys.
Not these guys. That's right. Oh, man. How long before the Knicks offer Jay Wright $20 million a year? Yeah, no, that's a good text. Feels that way, doesn't it? Oh, there's the music. Get on out of here again. Early edition to the Horse Racing Happy Hour. We'll go live at 1:30, by the way. Sorry, Bob, not trying to cut off your show, but we're going to go do that at 1:30. Bob is next. Roundtable, 3 o'clock today. Soccer City at 6. Reds Cardinals just after 7. All that here on ESPN 680, 1057. He's Zach Cantrell. I'm Louis Rabeau at Radio Louis on Twitter. Find the station at ESPN 680, ESPNLouisville.com for the podcast center if you missed any part of the show. Thanks to Ben Roberts for joining us as well in the first hour. Back again tomorrow at 10. We hope you are too. Have a great rest of your Thursday, everybody.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.